reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now recently, not long ago, a pastor had a mini-series of messages that he entitled, Are You Drifting? And he dealt rather in depth, I think, with the means and the mechanisms of how slowly and with how much subtlety our spiritual condition can drift from where it should be. Now those messages, like all messages built and based upon the Word of God should do, those messages caused me to really consider my own state of being, and I trust that they did for you as well. But tonight, I want to simply and briefly check up on those thoughts. It is needful in any task, I believe, or project that you might be doing, to step back briefly from time to time, just to, you know, really keep the proper perspective and to make sure that whatever progress we might be making in that task is still headed in the right direction. Can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever paddled a boat or a raft? Have you ever paddled it just on one side? Never ever changing sides. And pretty soon, wait, I was supposed to go over there. It's the same idea tonight. Where are you? Are we headed in the right direction? And is our progress pointed the way it should be? Let's pray tonight. Our Father in heaven, tonight as we look at this perhaps brief message, but Father, oh so important, Lord, I would ask for your Holy Spirit to fill this place. More so, Father, won't your Holy Spirit please fill me? Father, may the words that are spoken from this pulpit tonight not be an effort of any particular man, but Father, may they be presented and may they be heard as your word from your scriptures speaking to our hearts, specifically to my heart tonight. Lord, may we be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit tonight. And may your will be accomplished. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get going here tonight, we're going to look back again, of course, at the first scripture we looked at, Genesis chapter 3. We're not going to necessarily read through this whole account. We know the account of Adam and Eve. We know of their disobedience in Eden when they took and they ate of the forbidden fruit. We're not going to examine the whole scripture. We're not going to reread that whole passage. But rather, I'd like us to look at one particular aspect tonight that I believe is most applicable to us. Looking back in Genesis chapter 3, I'd like to take a look at the latter part of verse number 6 and the first part of verse number 7. Genesis 3, verses 6 and 7. Let's read the whole verses to get the context. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, here's the key that I want to look at tonight. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The key passage right there, the end of verse 6, the beginning of verse 7. They took of the forbidden fruit, and their eyes were opened, and they knew. That's what I'd like to focus on tonight. As soon as they disobeyed God's command, they knew that they were in trouble. I've read through this several times, even studying for tonight. And I've thought about past sermons that have suggested that perhaps Adam and Eve were accustomed to having communication with God in the cool of the evening. I've heard that suggested that they were used to this, that they expected that God was going to show up in the cool of the evening and was going to talk with them But I didn't see in reading through this that that's actually ever told to us anywhere. Maybe it's true. What we do know, what is told to us, and it's recorded right here in black and white, is that Adam and Eve knew that they had done something that drastically changed their condition, and they knew it was wrong. The other thing that I can plainly see here, as we read through this entire passage, and verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day," what I see is that they knew exactly who it was. They didn't have to be told. They didn't have to wonder. They knew exactly who it was who was walking in the garden and looking for them. God knew where they were. We've heard it expressed a number of times. God's question was, "Adam, where art thou?" was for Adam's benefit. God knew where they were, but Adam and Eve also knew exactly who was asking the question. When we as children are being looked for, when we're being sought for, maybe we're being called in for dinner. Maybe we're being called in to do our chores. "Hey, Steve, you didn't clean up your room yet." Oh, boy. We almost always, I'll testify, I don't know if you are willing to or not, but we almost always knew who it was that was calling us. And we almost always knew that it might not be good. Don't we? Yeah, see, I see the heads nodding. I appreciate your honesty tonight. Now, let's think of a time. Maybe this will be hard for some of you, I don't know. Not for me. Let's think of a time tonight when we did something wrong. No, you don't have to testify of it. You can keep that to yourselves in your own mind, but let's think of a time when we did wrong. And you heard your name called out in no uncertain terms. "Stephen Hernall." Oh, I am in so much trouble. "Erica Faith." "Pop Smith." I don't think they called him Pop. I think it was James. Right? "Robert." No, I'm not going to go through everybody. You get the point. There was never a question who was being called or who was doing the calling. We simply knew. So it is with us today. Whether it's a parent or whether it's God through the Holy Spirit, we know if we have done something wrong on purpose, if it's contradicted God's word, or if it's contradicted mom and dad's rules, we know that we've suddenly had a change of condition. Oh boy. Now, God has not taken away that ability to know. We know, just like Adam and Eve did, what happens when we don't quite follow what God has said. We know that there's going to be a loss of fellowship. We know that there's going to be consequences. God hasn't taken away that ability to know. It was of the tree of the what? Knowledge of good and evil that was eaten of, and the eyes were opened. Knowledge was then passed on to the children. The open eyes were passed on by nature to know the difference between right and wrong. We have an innate sense of that right and wrong once we reach that certain age in life. Now, God does talk about an age of accountability. There are certain times, I don't know if Micah knows quite yet what's right and wrong. He may have a sense, I don't know. But at some point in life, we know. So what happens when we've done what we shouldn't have done? Well, what happens when kids do something they don't think is right or that they know is wrong? Don't they try to hide it? Okay. Adults, aren't we just bigger kids? If we've done something wrong, don't we just kind of hope that nobody sees? We're going to be zip-lipped. We're not going to say a word. We're not going to even approach the subject. Oh, aren't we trying to hide it? Okay, who hasn't gone and stirred the frosting with a spoon? Who hasn't gone and stuck a finger in and stirred the peanut butter? Whip topping, just to mention a few. We'll make it look like we weren't there. Come on now, you're hiding it. In the process of what you're not supposed to do, you're hiding it, or trying to. Dave, how many times have you rearranged the pile of cookies to make it look like you weren't in the pile of cookies? I'm right there with you, brother. All right. He's a spoon guy. Well, he's clean at least, so praise the Lord. Maybe we just skimmed a little bit off the top of the ice cream bucket. See, I've got everybody now, don't I? All right. Turn with me back over to Jeremiah 23. Not too hard to figure out where this one's going, is it? Jeremiah chapter 23. We have all done things to try to hide what we've done. And God says in Jeremiah 23, am I a God at hand, not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Now, we know academically, we know in our mind that God is in every place. Do we live like it? Do we live like it always? Or do we sometimes just try to make ourselves feel better by, what's the word, redefining what we've done? Do we try to hide the thoughts and the intents of our hearts in sarcasm? Do we try to hide what we've done in perhaps passively aggressive comments? Well, if you want to do it that way, then that's fine. God is asking us tonight to look hard at our hearts in verse 24. Can we hide ourselves in secret places? Not only is this next question, do not I fill heaven and earth? Not only is it indicative of the physical heaven and the earth, the sky. We know that God is up here in the sky, everywhere. He's bigger than the universe that we live in. We know that he's there. He fills the entire thing. And we know that he fills every place in the earth because he's just that way. But he's also talking about a spiritual sense. Spiritually filling heaven is metaphoric to our spiritual side, to our thought processes, to our understanding, to the intangible spirits that we possess. Do not I fill that realm, that spiritual realm? Yes, God is a spirit, and that's where he is. God tells us in many places, so that we can understand this premise. God says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 5:21 says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And again in Psalm 44:21, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. So I'll ask the same question again as God asked. He asked it of Adam. He's asked it of me. I know he's asked it of you. I'll ask it again tonight. Where am I? Tonight is our opportunity to check up biblically where we are in our progress. Just as tests and quizzes in school are designed to let us know where we are in the subject matter, so God also, in his perfect care for his children, says in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Why? And he answers it. Even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean that God's waiting for us to mess up and he's going to give us according to that? Is he going to take out the paddle? I don't believe so in that particular sense. What I believe he's saying here, I dare say, let me back up, excuse me. I just don't believe that God is waiting for us to make the mistake. Some have suggested, and I have suggested, that God's just waiting and he's going to beat me upside the head with a 2x4. I think that ascribing that kind of a characteristic to God, who is holy, who is just, who is righteous in everything, contradicts the very nature of God as he reveals it to us in his word. I don't believe God is standing there with a 2x4 waiting to crack you upside the head. Ever. God will discipline his children, yes. God will rebuke us and chastise us and scourge us, yes. But don't forget that God's ways are higher than ours. God's thoughts, we can't understand how God works necessarily except for what's revealed to us. This passage in Jeremiah 17:10, to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. No, I think we should know that God has only our being conformed to the image of Christ in mind. I think that God's primary concern for us is to help us. God's always got our best interest in mind. What we do may have its own consequences, and we may not ever be resolved of those consequences. But I don't believe that God is waiting up there. Go ahead. I dare say that, well, I don't know that I would dare say that about God. And after I have said that in the past, and I've thought about that, and I've thought, God, how small am I making you? How small and how limited am I trying to make this God that knows and that has all power and is everywhere and knows my heart? That might be my response to somebody. Go ahead. Go ahead. But remember, I'm a sinner saved by grace. God is righteous and holy and pure, and I don't believe that we could ever ascribe that to God. So I'm going to close tonight. It's a brief message, but I'm going to close tonight with this verse in Romans chapter 8. We were there this morning, but I'm looking at a different verse tonight. Romans chapter 8, if you would. Acts, Romans. Come on, Hurdle, you know where it is. Romans chapter 8, and I want to look at verse number 27. Verse number 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because," here's the key, "he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Friends, I don't believe that God is waiting to strike us with a lightning bolt. We'll do enough of that on our own. But I believe that God wants to help us. God wants to show us where we need improvement. It's the test to say, hey, you didn't do so well. Let's study a little more in this area. As we enter into communion tonight, can we plead the scriptures back to God? Yes, we can. He's told us that we ought to. Psalm 139, verse 23, you know it well. It says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do not leave off the last phrase. God, search my heart, show me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Don't try to hide behind some self-justification or some reasoning or, well, this is why I had to. No, it's not. Don't hide behind that. Let the Lord help you tonight. God, help me tonight. If there is something that the Lord shows us, don't fight him over it. Ask him to help us deal with it biblically. Bring it to the foot of the cross. Bring it under the blood of Christ. If perhaps it's a matter of not even knowing for sure if you're saved tonight, that can be settled too. And it ought to be before it's too late. Christian, if there's something between you and God shows it to you, settle it now before it's too late and before it has any more detrimental effect on our testimony. Let's pray tonight. Oh, Father in heaven, it's a brief message tonight, but it's so very pointed. It hurts, Father. It hurts, Lord, when we have to admit that we're not where we ought to be. We like to ascribe reasons. We like to ascribe blame for things that happen to us. Oh, but Lord, how much of it, if we really had the right perspective, can we say is our own fault? Lord God, help us tonight as we go into this communion service, this time of remembrance of what Jesus Christ endured for us. And the end result, to condemn sin in the flesh for us. Father, we don't have to live under that burden. We don't have to live under that fear. Father, we can live with the spirit of the adoption of sons. Freedom and liberty, Lord, to worship. We don't have to give in to the temptations that Satan throws in front of us every moment of every day. Lord, won't you please strengthen us tonight? God in heaven, may your will be accomplished. Speak to my heart and to that of these, your children here tonight. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight, we're going to enter into the communion service. May this be a moment, may this be a time that you plead the scriptures, search me, O God, and don't try to hide it. Take it to the Lord and ask him to help you to deal with it tonight. If there is a matter that I can pray with you, I understand because I have been here. I am here more often than I care to admit when I have to come back to the Lord and say, Father, please help me and restore me. Can I pray with you tonight? Father in heaven, not intending to be such a heavy message, but Father, any time that we look at ourselves from the mirror of the gospel of God, we have to recognize, Lord, that this is some serious stuff. Lord, we want to be glorified together. There's a process, and in that process will be the trials, the sufferings, the learning, even as Christ had to learn obedience through the trials and tribulations, so must we. Father, won't you guide and direct tonight? Encourage us, strengthen our hearts tonight, strengthen our spirits tonight, Lord, that we might go from this place renewed, revived, Father, excited about where you are leading us in the way everlasting. May your will be done here tonight, I ask and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask Pastor Smith if you would come tonight.